Welcome to a special EduTech Guys presentation recorded live at FETC 2022 in Orlando, Florida. Enjoy the conversation.
Hey, welcome back to FETC 2022. It's been a very exciting day three. Very, very exciting day three. Got a lot of folks coming by to see us and talk with us, and some of our good friends. I'm going to say good friends because they are. They're our friends. We don't get to see them as much as we'd like to because yeah. Nobody has lately. But they're in the seat right now. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, tell us what they do, where they're from, and all that kind of good stuff. So here we go.
Well, hello. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Joe.
And we are known as the Merrill's EDU. We are just a set of ordinary educators, though, from South Florida. I teach fourth grade.
And I teach first.
And we're just so happy to see you guys.
Oh, it's so great to see you guys in person. It's been a long time, or definitely feels like a long time.
It sure has. Yeah.
Although I did follow you all through the pandemic, and social media. We all live on social media. So, and ordinary teachers, these guys. You hear what they're telling
you? Yeah.
Hey, you've changed a lot of lives. You put a lot of stuff out there. And I know that a lot of those folks you meet up with have changed your lives. I mean, that's what we do here. That's what our PLNs are about. That's what we do in coming to conferences like this. So tell us why you're here. What are you guys doing at this one?
You know, honestly, we kind of came in with no expectations. I've been telling everybody that I'm here to fill my cup. I'm here to see people and just talk to people. And we were just, having a conversation after one of our sessions, and my phone is full now of just like great ideas and things that I can take back and, adapt into my learning environment. And so it's been awesome to present and share, but it's also been really nice to just see people and just kind of get back to that learning that happens through those just like ordinary conversations.
Yeah, I mean, the sessions are great, the workshops are great, but it's the face-to-face is where it's at. And, that connection being open now again and being able to see each other face-to-face has just been really, really beneficial for us throughout this whole event. And, seeing all the familiar faces around and seeing you guys again, it's just like, this is awesome. This is where we should be.
Yeah, that's been what it's been for us. It's been a great conference so far, especially seeing everybody. So I have to ask, the last 18 months have been rough. Mm-hmm. At the same time, for educators, we've learned a lot. So give us your top five. Give us what you've brought out of this, because we have to look at it as the glass half full. And, where are you guys on that, filling that glass back up all the way to the top?
Well, I can say that, and I think we both would agree with this, that a lot of the things that we thought were really important in the beginning of the pandemic are not that important.
That is just what I was going to talk about. Oh, you took my idea.
You took her answer.
Yeah, so I got lucky there. But things that we would put so much time and effort into doing that we thought we have to do this because it's just what we're used to doing. And getting to specifics, maybe something simple like sending out a weekly a newsletter, right? And then transitioning that to an e-newsletter because the kids weren't in school, which it didn't feel right at the time maybe, but it's just one of those things that like you put a bunch of effort into and now you're like, I really didn't need to devote that much time and effort to that because I can do this so much more efficiently the other way. Mm. And I think that's been a big eye-opening thing for us.
Oh, I'm the vain one. It was like the furniture in my room, like the things that I had to let go of because we weren't allowed to do it safely. Mm-hmm. Things that I'd kind of grown accustomed to having and walking in my classroom, like not looking the way my classroom looked like and feeling like so sad and so burdened by that. And then realizing that really the classroom can be anywhere. And yes, it can be on virtual and it's really great to be in person, but the couch on the corner is not what makes learning happen in that space. And even though it's back now, those kinds of things, it was really good to reflect on where our efforts are going with our kids and where we can still allow them to have that choice and voice within that learning environment, because let's be real, there's been a lot of that's been taken away. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something we've taken away. And I think there's some things that we used during, the pandemic or during virtual learning that now we're still trying to incorporate in our classrooms, even though we're back in person. Like in our presentation, we just talked about like screen recording and video and showing, we can still flip our lessons and still have that for our kids because they're still going to benefit from that, even though you're standing right in front of them. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big challenge for educators right now is, we went through this world's greatest PD event, as Kristen always calls it, right? And now what, right? So what do we do with what we've learned about for the last, 2 years, and how does that transfer into our classrooms today? Hopefully, fingers crossed, now that things are kind of returning back to normal. And that's a really big challenge for a lot of educators and trying to figure out that balance, because we don't want to lose some of that, right? That's our kids, right? That's their language. And so how can we really transform that into the modern today's classroom?
And some of the things that you couldn't use you don't need to keep going back to it, right? Right. Now that we're back in person, don't go back to that, right? My motto, slowly but surely, everyone picks a word for the new year, and I didn't pick one for the new year because I couldn't think of one. But I've been telling people lately that my phrase is now turning from or to and, right? Like, I think sometimes we look at things and like, well, I did it like this, or I did it like this. And now why can't it be both? Like, I do it like this and I do it like this.
Right.
And so this month I'm seeing a lot of that in terms of things that I do with my kids and just opening our minds to allowing those things to stay.
Well, one of the things that you touched on to me is one of the greatest missteps and oversights that many, many districts, and if not at districts, certainly in classrooms with educators, that they have done is when things came back to air quote normal, that's exactly what they decided. That's how school is going to be now. You just went through truly one of the most amazing, yes, I know it was difficult, but one of the most amazing transformational aspects of education. And the moment you didn't have to do it anymore, you threw it out the window. What are you doing? And so I love the and aspect of that.
Yeah, we're going to steal that, by the way.
Go for it. I think it should be our mentality, like our mantra going forward. Like, it doesn't have, you know, and then with everything, like, I think so often teachers get pitted, like Nearpod or Pear Deck or whatever. No, it can be both. Like, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? Yeah. Who's sitting in front of you, right? These learners that are in our classrooms right now in these quote unquote semi-normal classrooms have not had a normal 2 years. Nothing has been normal for them these last 2 years.
Right.
So what is their normal, right? This is the group to really change it up and to start implementing these practices because they don't know anything otherwise.
Right. Well, and they're kids. Mm-hmm. And normal changes every, well, 2 months, 3 months?
Yeah.
And it depends.
Every second.
Right. Well, yeah. And there's a thing I want to ask you guys about. So, you know, there's a lot of us that are our significant other is also an educator. So we're in the same house. But this time you guys were at home with your kids. What did you learn from your kids being home? Because, you know, now you're the educator and you're educating your kids.
Yeah,
I have to say,
story.
We had an advantage there because our kids were in our class.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, I wouldn't say it's an advantage, actually.
Can we get them on this?
Yeah, they would tell you differently.
Because we were not only, you know, trying to provide for our students, but we were living and breathing that right at home, right?
Right.
And so when there was an activity that wasn't as engaging, we knew about it.
That's awesome.
When they would tell you.
Yeah. Because they weren't shy about it. Like, Dad, this is so boring, you know, or Dad, this was so much fun. Can we do, you know, something like that again? And so that was a little bit of an advantage as far as that goes, because we were able to kind of differentiate and, you know, instruct that way.
Wow. In-house product testing. I love it.
And I think our kids, our boys are very different learners. Mm-hmm. So one of them is very procedural. He usually can get things done, tell me what to do. The other one is like out in left field, like brainy, like takes forever. And so for me, it was good as a parent to see how long it took them to do it. Because in my mind, I'm like, okay, this should take like 30 minutes, boop, boop, boop. And you forget that kids were doing things differently. You know, some of them were doing it by themselves. They didn't have anyone to help them. Right. Some of them, you know, and so for me, it kind of helped me. I watched our son go through things and how he paced it and then be like, okay, I'm going to scale it back even more. Because there were kids at home that were just drowning and it was so hard. And you had to, it was good for me to, in that sense, the planning aspect of it.
Yeah. And I'll say that we try to be really diligent about, you know, making sure that our kids are working independently as much as possible, because we really wanted to know, okay, what are the kids at home that, you know, are working by themselves? What are they really capable of doing? Like, what's a good measure there? And we didn't want to really jump in and help them with a bunch of parent support in the beginning, because we wanted to know just what they were capable of doing. And so that was really interesting, because we noticed that right away the independence level, especially of our kids in first grade, went way down.
Mm-hmm.
Things that would take them, you know, 2-3 minutes in the classroom was taking 30-40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so we really had to kind of figure that out for the first couple weeks throughout remote learning.
There was an air of learned helplessness too. And it was also very eye-opening to see, really shows that disconnect with parents. Like, you know, you have like these just very highly educated, like lawyers who are like, I can't get into Teams. And I'm thinking, what? This is Teams and PowerPoint. Like, and so to show, you know, really the value of having to show your kids and putting that, you know how to do this. This is where you can go if you don't. You don't need mom to help you. And trying to bridge that gap, I found was really hard at first, trying, because they wanted to, but let's be real, these kids were smart and they, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And then you spiraled into, you know, all of that. But I think that it was good. We figured it out.
Yeah.
I think that speaks to, in my opinion, what I noticed being the CTO above this, kind of watching it play out. And I had a really, I had a much bigger role in virtual learning than I've ever had, which was nice and also scary, you know, because I haven't been in the classroom in a while and kids change. But what I did notice was, especially the younger ones, we forget that peer influence, that 2 minutes in the classroom has, okay, everybody else is doing it. And that's a good thing. And once they went home, we lost that peer influence because there's nobody here. I'm just going to scribble for right now and draw this picture on the paper.
Yeah. And so having ways that they could still see each other's work, that they could still talk to each other, they could still work in real time, those applications really came in handy. And they still, you know, they still translate now into being able to use them in the classroom. They just give it a different way.
Yeah, it was really hard in the beginning with the kids, that, especially in first grade. They weren't able to talk back and forth to their friends like some of the older kids were, you know, like through video games and stuff like that. So trying to find ways for them to have that, like you said, peer-to-peer relationship without being face-to-face was really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. And it was, I think, a lot of respects. I think everybody would agree that some of those kids are still kind of suffering from some of that too, you know, and trying to get them caught back up in some of that, the friendships and, you know, developing the social skills and stuff like that. It's going to be a little bit of a work in progress, I think, for a lot of those kids.
Well, so one of the things that I want to kind of touch on that you mentioned, you know, you were getting, I'm assuming it was pretty instant feedback from your kids based on those lessons. Now, is that something that you had already been doing in your traditional class? And, you know, and then how has that either continued or how has it evolved now that you are back in the person-to-person? Talk about that.
Yeah, so we were already set up in our classrooms on Microsoft Teams. We had Seesaw. We had Flipgrid. We had all of these things. So at the very beginning of the pandemic, we were like, there's no way, like, school's going, this is not good. And when they did and school closed, we were like, all right, Teams meeting, let's go. Like, all of our kids, we already had all of that laid in place and how to do it. And so I don't think we had some of the struggles, honestly, that some people did, even people on our own teams. Like, ours just translated into like the learned helplessness and other things, but still use Teams in your class now.
I would say, but then the second year, that was a different story because then we had kids that came in and they didn't have that first half of the year with us.
Right.
So that was a whole different experience. You know, that was a much slower process. Okay, let's learn something like Flipgrid first. Let's take some time with that. Now let's move on to something like Teams and then, like, you know, one step at a time. That was definitely a much longer drawn out process and we really had to slow down there. So, but translating into the classroom now, I mean, we still use those tools. And, you know, I think we have just, like I mentioned before, we found different ways to use them that are more efficient now than even in the beginning of the pandemic, or maybe perhaps what we were doing before then. And it's just been really nice to be able to figure out ways to fit that in and make things easier. Maybe that's just, you know, maybe that's just shout out to the edtech companies for figuring some of that stuff out. How can they work with each other, you know?
Yeah.
And kudos to them for doing that. But I think a lot of it is just like figuring out, okay, what works the best for my students in my class today?
Yeah, teachers are problem solvers, right? And so at the beginning of last year, we were in person. We had some kids online. Kids were not allowed to move their seats. And so, you know, like, you use Teams, like, all right, guys, here's your groups and teams. Here's our channels. Jump on. I'm standing at my desk. And yes, I know you're right there. And we're all going to be in a group together. And we use the tools for the way we needed to at that time.
Right. Sure.
Right. And so I think teachers are really good at adapting that way.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And so along similar lines, and I probably wasn't as clear as I was trying to be. But one of the things you said was, you know, you were doing a lesson and your kids were like, oh, this is so boring. That kind of feedback. Is that something you were already doing in class? Awesome. And then how has that kind of evolved now that the kids are back and you have seen and gotten that instant feedback like, oh, now this is not really working for me.
Well, he's not in my class anymore, so I don't have that instant feedback.
Yeah.
They're a little more reluctant to share if they're not my own. But, you know, yes, we do. We like to try to make sure that the kids are into it. And because that's what we're going for, right? We want the kids to be engaged with it. And if they're not interested in it, you know, maybe we need to rethink how we deliver that and what tools we're using. A lot of times, too, we like to just provide several choices for the kids now, too, because now they are so fluent with a lot of these apps. And I think, you know, it's safe to say that they've used most of them now, whether they've been in our classroom or not. So let's give them a choice of how they can, you know, present their information, and then let's let them kind of maneuver through that whichever platform they choose.
Yeah,
I've done it more on the planning aspect, I would say, as a teacher. Like, I've just the last week or two went up to my administration and was like, listen, like, I want to redo how we're with this thing called planning, right? Like, I know as a teacher what texts I want to read, and I know what these questions, and I know where I want to lead my kids, But I can't tell you what that's going to look like in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, like, you know, can I have, so now my plans are much more organic. Like, they're laid out for 7 weeks, I think, and they have the questions and the text. But if you ask me exactly what platform we're going to discuss that question on or how we're going to show that learning goal, I haven't decided yet, because sometimes I play with things. Like, we did an activity last week about cross hatching of all things and an illustration, and I just threw it out there and the kids ate it up. Yeah. Loved it. And so I'm like, okay, how can I how can I do more like doodling or sketchnoting, because they showed an interest in that, or Encanto, the movie is so big, and like the music, and it's okay, so they love the fast talking. Can we do something with music, or can we do something with that? So I know that, yes, I want to talk about, you know, this poem or this thing, but the mode of how I'm going to do it might be different. And so I think in my planning, you know, there's these large, and it's been awesome. Like, you know, you come in, you kind of know what you're going to do, and then you sit down the night before and you say, okay, based on last week, based on what we did, what are they going to enjoy? And sometimes you just have to ask them.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Just ask them. Yeah. Like, or they'll come up and be like, are we going to use Flipgrid this week? Okay. Note to self, someone in the class, that's something they like. Like, you know, just ask your kids. And if you create that safe space where they understand you're not, guys, this is your classroom, I'm not angry about it, this is what I chose to do today, you're gonna, but what were your thoughts on it? We actually have like these app reviews. We built them in like Teams. You could do them in Google Forms. And so, like, when we would often, like at the beginning of the year when I would use a new app or something, sometimes I would just throw that to my kids, and it has a couple questions like, what did you like about it? What did you not like about it? If you could have done it differently in a different, and it takes like 5 seconds for them to fill it out, and you get that instant feedback, because you're right. There are times where you think this lesson is really cool and they're like not about it. And you're like, man, I thought I was so close.
And I think that it's really important too, that we are really in particular with like looking at our students and knowing our students and having those relationships and saying, okay, what are their talents? How can we use their talents in order for them to be successful? You know, maybe they're really good at sitting in front of a camera and being engaging. Maybe they're really good at creating some type of illustration. No matter how that's done, if it's part of their talent, they're going to take ownership of that and they're going to feel better about it. So we try really hard to capture all of that in our class.
Yeah. So one quick last question. VR. And you guys already do Teams. You do this kind of thing. So the Meta and VR, where do you see it going? And isn't it kind of exciting because we're starting to teach this way? The cool part, you keep teaching the same way you're teaching. It's just now we're avatars and we're icons, or we're little characters with her, you know, with a punk fro, ripped pink hair and backpack and all that
kind
of stuff.
I think it's a very untouched, unknown world by so many. But I think for me, like, I would say I'm not super versed in it. But off the top of my head, the skills that the kids will pick up and learn through that form of teaching is going to be so massively greater than whatever the skills are that you picked, right? And so they're going to learn whatever it is content-wise, but there's going to be so many other things that the kids are going to gain from that I can only see it going positive, right? Mm-hmm. I think we talked in one of our sessions, I do some stuff with Minecraft, and I'll tell people, they're like, guys, I know absolutely nothing basically in Minecraft. I cannot build, I cannot jump, I am the worst, but I'm not scared of it. And so I'll get into it, and my kids will tell me, I'll be upfront and honest and say, okay, if you type in da-da-da-da-da, you'll transfer me over there. Okay, great. Can you make it sunny all the time? Nope. Do you know how to? Yep, type this in. And so they'll help me. And so I think with the VR and all that kind of things, people are scared of it, and they don't know how to use it, so they never start.
Right.
And we have to get over that fear of it and just learn through it, maybe dedicate a day or a time where you don't care if you accomplish anything, but you be aware and mindful of what you're going to learn through it.
And it's available in really easy platforms like Nearpod, for example.
Yeah.
It has great virtual field trips. We use them all the time. Like, we were just learning about Martin Luther King recently, so we took a VR trip to the memorial. We went to his college. There's actually, they have a picture up of his college. I'm trying to think what else. There's a bunch of them that are up there. But, you know, it's stuff like that, you know, no, it's not like being there in real life, but if your kids ever have a chance to get there, they're gonna recognize those places now, you know?
Right.
And so that's a really cool thing to be able to do, even if it's not that true experience, but it definitely builds that background knowledge so that when they do make that trip there, they'll be able to recognize it.
And I think that true VR experience and being inside something, there's a level of safety in that, because it's not like the real world.
Right.
And so I think the kids will be a little bit more willing to try things because it's not, in their mind, it's like, a game, or it's not like my desk in my room.
And I don't know. I've seen some of those YouTube videos that it looks pretty real.
Yeah, some of it's scary. So if our listeners want to find out more from you guys, become friends, get your BLN, all that kind of good stuff, where can they find you?
So we're all over social. We're at the Merrill's EDU, 2 R's, 2 L's, because
there's two of us. Love that joke every time.
And then www.themerrillsedu.com.
Awesome. Hey, guys, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, have a great FETC.
You too.
Yeah. Awesome.
You've been listening to a special EduTech Guys presentation recorded live at FETC 2022 in Orlando, Florida. Thanks for listening.